As I said, we're going to talk about Bitcoin, and it's been a lot in the news in the last few months. It's something that I think it's fair to say not many of us actually understand. Bitcoin is it's part of what is known as a cryptocurrency. It's not the only cryptocurrency. There are several out there, but it's the most well known. And these cryptocurrencies are pretty much online currencies that are bought and sold. And when you buy and sell them, there is big money to be made in them. So to help us talk through everything this involves, cryptocurrency researcher Sean Au joins me now. Good morning, Sean.
Hello, Heather.
Sean, okay, we need to go right back to the basics, please. Can you explain to me what Bitcoin is?
Okay, so Bitcoin can be explained in many different ways. But simply put, it's a form of digital currency, or some people call it a cryptocurrency, that is designed as a form of money to be used to be paid for goods and services without the need for a middle person. And I'm talking about banks in particular.
Okay, so if Bitcoin becomes something that we use regularly, it will be simply that we have a Bitcoin account, like we have a bank account.
Exactly.
And we will be able to pay for our pizzas, pay for our groceries through our Bitcoin account.
Correct. And I can send money from me to you very easily, cheaply and quickly without the need, as mentioned, for a middle person.
So perhaps some stage I could have a bank card that is loaded with Bitcoin.
In fact, you can do that right now.
You can load an actual bank card with Bitcoin.
Correct. And the Bitcoins you can transfer into it. It actually gets transferred into US dollars or the local currency.
All right, yeah.
But you can do that at the moment, yes.
Okay, but maybe one day I could have a Bitcoin card?
You can. And in fact, I could see a world where 5 to 10 years later, you go into the supermarket and you can buy bread with, say, either one New Zealand dollar or maybe 0.1 of a Bitcoin, for example.
Yeah, okay. So why do we want to eliminate banks?
Well, I mean, banks are a centralized organization. They charge lots of fees, for example. I mean, imagine when you transfer money overseas and it takes 5 to 7 business days and it costs $25. I mean, why can't it take minutes and cost cents?
Okay. So I can understand that. But what I don't understand is what a Bitcoin is. And this is not a great place to be at. But is a Bitcoin essentially like a dollar?
It is.
Not the value of a dollar, but it is a dollar or a rand or a pound or something like that.
Correct. A lot of people try to understand Bitcoin as the internet of money. Right. So if you think of the New Zealand dollar, that's linked to a currency, New Zealand. Australia dollar is used in Australia. Imagine if the internet was a country. What would you use there? Why not use a cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin? So it's the internet of money.
Okay, now at the moment, you cannot really actually use Bitcoin for all that much, can you?
No, you can't. And in particular, with the increase in price at the moment, a lot of people are actually holding it, thinking that it's going to appreciate and they can sell it later. So unfortunately, the original concept of Bitcoin as a form of payment is actually being lost in translation with the price.
Right, because how much is Bitcoin worth right now?
Last time I checked this morning, it was around 11,000 US dollars, or say 15,000 New Zealand dollars.
So you could buy one Bitcoin for 15,000 New Zealand dollars.
That is correct.
Which makes it impossible to buy anything worth something like $5 because you'd need to break that Bitcoin up into such a small fraction of it.
That's actually a common misunderstanding, because a Bitcoin can be broken up into very, very small chunks. So imagine a dollar. You can break it into 100 cents.
Yes.
With a Bitcoin, you can break it up into 100 millionth of a Bitcoin. So it's actually very small. That's called a Satoshi.
So not only do we need to learn this, Bitcoin, we also have to learn all the names for the 100 million different kinds of Bitcoins.
Well, there's just the Satoshi, but then we have to learn pounds, sterling, shilling, pence. So
I know.
Is there a difference?
I didn't like that either. So one Bitcoin is 100 million Satoshi.
Correct.
Okay, so your bread may cost you 500 million Satoshi or something. I don't know.
Potentially.
Okay. That sounds very much like we're operating in Zimbabwe at the moment, doesn't it?
Indeed.
A wheelbarrow of Satoshis.
Indeed.
Now, why I think Bitcoin is kind of difficult for some people to understand is because the dollar, or, you know, the old world currency, shall we call that, real world currencies, used to be backed up by the gold standard.
Correct.
So we actually have associated it with the value of gold.
Yes.
What is backing up Bitcoin? Because it's surely not gold, is it?
Correct. But then again, what is backing up the $1?
It used to be gold. Correct. It's not anymore, right?
Correct.
Actually, it's not worth anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's just worth the fact that we all agree it's worth something.
Exactly. Exactly. So with Bitcoin, everyone believes behind the concept of the maths and the cryptography behind it, and that there's a limited supply of 21 million. Because as we know with money, the government can print more.
Yes. Which means that basically the value of, if the government decided or if the Reserve Bank decided to print a lot more New Zealand dollar, your one New Zealand dollar becomes worth far less.
That is correct.
Okay. So, yep. So we have a limit of bitcoins at 21 million.
Yes.
But I thought that you could still mine bitcoins.
You can. So 21 million is the maximum supply that will ever be in existence.
Yes.
At the moment, we're about 16.6 million.
Okay.
And the final total amount of Bitcoin we'll get to the final amount about the year 2140.
Okay. So how do you mine it?
You use sophisticated computer equipment mine it.
Let me just put this to you, Sean. The idea of mining something says to me that it is buried somewhere hidden and I need to find it.
Correct.
So is it hidden in the internet?
Kind of. It was designed to mimic gold, for example.
Yes.
And the analogies are very similar. But what you do is you solve this complicated puzzle. So computers all around the world are trying to solve puzzles. And the first computer that solves the puzzle gets rewarded with bitcoins.
Okay.
And that's how they come into existence.
So it basically, if you're really, really clever with algorithms on the internet, you might be able to be rich.
That's what happened in the early days.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you just go on Alibaba or on the internet and buy these machines for a couple of thousand US dollars.
Yeah.
Go somewhere with cheap electricity, such as in Alaska or China, turn it on, and it just works.
And this is part of the criticism of Bitcoin, isn't it? That basically these machines need to keep working, and they just use up a lot of electricity. So they are contributing to climate change.
Yes.
In order to make this fake economy.
That is coin. Correct. That is correct. There are arguments against that. For example, there are algorithms coming in place that are moving away from this computer-intensive process. Mm. The actual creation of money itself, paper money, for example, takes a lot of energy. That's not free either.
Well, I think that's a very fair point, actually. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, you need to chop down some trees and stuff, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Pay staff, carry it, transport it.
Have you got any Bitcoin?
That's the million-dollar question, because everyone in this industry asks the question, but it's very similar to asking someone, how much do you earn, you see?
Yeah.
So it's actually quite a private question.
Oh, because if you admit that you've got a Bitcoin, then I know that you've got at least $17,000.
Exactly. And you can have a target on your back.
Well, do you have any Satoshi?
I've got fractions of Bitcoins that I use to help other people learn what the technology is.
Okay. Would you invest in it? If you had the money to invest in it, hypothetically, would you do it?
I would invest a little bit, basically to learn and share about the technology. That's my background, where I'm coming from.
Because you're worried about this going badly?
No, because I think it's great, and that if I had enough, I'd share it around so everyone could learn about it.
Because one of the concerns is that it has gone up in value so highly. I mean, it has just become extremely expensive.
Correct.
And the concern is that it is a bubble waiting to explode, right?
Yep.
Right? And that all these people who are right now buying Bitcoin could end up losing a lot of money.
Totally. 100% agree.
And are you worried about that?
I am very worried. I mean, it is a bubble. There is no reason for the crazy price rise from, say, $5,000 to the high was at $19,000.
Yeah.
There's no reason behind that. And we've seen that with the recent crash,
so to speak.
Do you
think it's peaked, or do you think it could go up yet?
That's a very interesting question, because I don't think there's anyone can really predict the answer to that. But on the internet, people are talking about it could go to $25,000, maybe $100,000. And some people, in particular, this person called Ronnie Moas, who is in the stock market, he put some thinking behind this and said that there's a $200 trillion market around cash, stocks, bonds, and commodity. If cryptocurrencies was to take just 2% of that $200 trillion market, it would be $4 trillion, which is 8 times where we're at today. So he's thinking in his mind, there's room to grow 8 times further, for example, using those simple calculations.
Okay, grow 8 times before anything goes very badly.
Well, potentially it could stabilize, and if more people get on board, then it could have greater use.
Hey, the thing is, we focus on Bitcoin a lot when we talk about cryptocurrencies, but it is just the most famous, I guess, of many of them, right? So how many of them are there?
There are literally thousands out there.
Is that right?
And the reason why is because it's so easy to create one.
Right.
Because it's software code, you could copy and paste it.
How in goodness name are we going to be able to pay, figure out who's paying for what when they go to the supermarket to buy bread with their cryptocurrency?
Well, the great thing is that a lot of them are totally useless, and there are only a handful of really good, stable, popular ones that people believe in.
Okay, so a lot of them will just fall by the way.
Correct.
I mean, this might be one of those instances where everybody starts making cars, you know, when cars are first an idea, and then you get down to a handful of car makers that survive.
Correct.
I've got to be honest, I'm afraid of change. I mean, this is scaring me somewhat.
Well, in fact, you could make a Heather coin if you wanted to and get rich. The only problem is you'd have to convince everyone to use your coin.
I can hear you're already skeptical. You can see the barrier there that you can't convince anyone. Sean, thank you very much for coming to Explain It to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time.